You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The latest annual New Zealand Census of Women on Boards released a report today, which shows the slow progress of boards of the top 100 publicly listed companies, as they're still overwhelmingly male and Pākehā. Simplicity is New Zealand's not-for-profit KiwiSaver scheme, and Managing Director Sam Stubbs assisted in the census. According to, when I spoke to Sam, he said that Simplicity will be engaging in formal shareholding action regarding voting directors in and out if companies have not achieved full diversity by 2022. And Sam and I spoke about issues with tokenism, why it's been so slow to change, and I began by asking him about the ethnic and gender makeup of boardrooms at the moment.
Yeah, so if you think about the boardrooms in private companies, they're around about 25% women. But if you look at the government boardrooms, the Crown entities, they're closer to 50%. So you know, we don't have a New Zealand problem with diversity in the boardroom. We just have a New Zealand company problem with it. And extensive research shows now, and in fact examples of countries like France, Italy, Iceland and so on, show that the more diversity you have in the boardroom, the higher your economic performance is going to be. So as a KiwiSaver manager, we're saying, look, we want to maximise our members' returns. In fact, we want all KiwiSaver members to do better off. So one of the ways of doing that is diversifying the boardroom. So it's not just the New Zealand we want to live in. It's not just a good thing. There's also very sensible economic rationale for doing this now. And you'll see that running through the senior ranks of how these businesses are governed generally. So there's not a lot of difference between the percentage of women on the boards and the percentage of women in senior management of these companies. And so this has now become a critical economic issue for the long-term welfare of all New Zealanders, particularly those people who save and invest in these companies via KiwiSaver. So, you know, what we've had in the past is you know, this survey's been done for a long time, and you've seen a slow improvement over a period of time. What you're seeing now is a KiwiSaver manager saying, look, it's important that this gets accelerated because we want all KiwiSavers to do the best they possibly can with their investments. It's very clear now there's a huge swathe of data internationally which shows that the more diverse you are, the higher your long-term returns will be. So we really have to step this up now and get going. We cannot afford the glacial pace of change that we've seen over the last 20 years.
What would you suggest in terms of how do we better support more diversity in these positions?
I think that by definition, if you're investing in KiwiSaver, you're helping do that now. But, you know, obviously you should be out there making as much noise as you can, particularly with those people who are in influential positions. And so, A, you should do that. B, keep on investing in KiwiSaver. What you'll notice is that rather than being somewhat distant from where your money's going, more and more KiwiSavers will become aware of where their money is, and you've got now in Simplicity, and I think you'll see later on in other KiwiSaver managers, ourselves actually starting to vote the shares of our members in the company AGMs and voting directors on and off boards who are or are not embracing diversity. You know, so we've said to the companies in New Zealand, we started saying it last year, we said, look, you've got 5 years to properly diversify, come up with a diversity plan for your company and enact it. And if by 2022 you haven't done it, we're going to start voting on and off directors who have or haven't helped achieve this. And so for the first time, you're going to see effectively the shareholder lever getting pulled to help affect this change. And look, you know, look, I mean, it's the right thing to do. It's the New Zealand we want to live in. But what's really important here is that there's a very sound economic reason for this to happen. And so you're a director responsible for making your shareholders the most money you can in the long term, and it's long-term return. You have got to embrace diversity. This is not a nice to have. This is not an option. This is a necessity now. And if you don't do that, you're failing in your duties as a director, and as a shareholder, on behalf of our KiwiSaver managers, we'll vote you off.
Have you seen companies making that active strident step to diversify? Or has
Oh yeah, look, some have. Look, you have some really, really good examples. For example, Spark, you know, our biggest telecoms company, they have 50% of their directors are women, and they have a chief executive who's a woman and a chair who's a woman as well. So you have some really, really good examples. But generally, you've seen progress overall be a little bit slow, and well, in fact, by far too slow, because by 2022, we need to have this done and sorted That means in the next 3 or 4 years, we've got to go from a 25% female representation on boards to more like 50. That's a lot of people that need to be hired and work to achieve diversity. And remember, it's not just gender diversity as well. We need more. You know, we have a country where 15% are Māori. It's almost impossible to find a Māori director on a large public company in New Zealand. We have 12% Pacifica. Where are they? So we, you know, these companies are going to have to start taking this very seriously and start enacting this very quickly. Because if they don't, there'll be a whole new pressure coming on them as directors, and that will be from shareholders like ourselves. And we will vote them on and off. And it will happen.
Mm, yeah. Mm. Other than putting pressure on company directors in terms of voting them on and off, what other support systems are in place to encourage, I guess, retention of ethnically diverse or gender diverse people in positions of power?
Yeah, no, great question, because it's not just good enough just to appoint them, right, and then just say, hey, you know, send it to yourself. They need to be supported, and what we've learned from gender diversity on boards is that you can't have tokenism. You can't have just, you know, sort of a one-and-done attitude. You actually need to have two or more so that they feel duly supported and that they can start to have the positive impact that we know that they have on that. So boards of directors not only have to come up with a policy to hire and to get more diverse, but also to support that diversity in the boardroom. There are plenty of people who can help doing this. There are plenty of examples of it working successfully. So that goes hand in hand. And what you will see when that happens is you'll get better long-term shareholder and KiwiSaver returns. This will be really good for New Zealand. It will be a very positive experience. So there are lots of systems and processes in place now to help. There are lots of examples of it working overseas and in New Zealand. There's no excuse now not to do this and not to take it seriously. It starts off with a diversity plan. 92% of New Zealand's largest companies have it, but 8% still don't. And of those 92, actually, a lot of them are quite cookie cutter. You know, they've taken the minimum one, they just copied someone else's, changed the name, and they said, that's our diversity plan. They've got to take it seriously because it will impact their economic returns. And, you know, as KiwiSaver investors, we take it very seriously if a company is interested in long-term shareholder returns. If they're ignoring diversity now, they're not taking that seriously, and they have to.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the issue of tokenism, because I guess that's a bit of a concern sometimes when you are placing pressure on big companies.
You just won't get away with tokenism. It's going to become very obvious. If you have a diversity policy which is, you know, cookie cutter, and you're doing tokenism, it's going to become obvious, not only in the way that board and senior management of companies comprise, because really you'll only have to have a look at a picture of the board to see whether it's been tokenism or whether they've taken it seriously. And also what you'll start to see is you'll start to see these companies underperforming. And once that happens, of course, then you get all shareholders get very, very serious about this. So this is going to become a very mainstream, very accepted way of doing business in the next sort of 5 or 10 years' time. We still have some, you know, some holdouts there. You still have people who said, oh, this is just a box-ticking exercise, I'll go through it. They will learn that this is a very, very serious competitive advantage or disadvantage, and they've just got to take it as seriously as it demands. And you see this in professions. Every profession that has fully embraced this and has taken on this board is going through a wonderful change. Private companies in New Zealand are increasing it by about 1% a year. It's simply not enough. They have to speed it up.
And you mentioned that there was a lot of research, because obviously it's good to have diversity on boards, because it's, well, we should support, it should reflect how New Zealand really is. But you also mentioned specifically economically how it's more beneficial. Do you have more information around that?
There are literally hundreds of studies on this globally. So if you look at what you call the meta research, the studies that have analysed the underlying studies, what it shows is that the worst results I've seen is that it makes no difference. But the vast majority of the studies show that you actually get better economic returns by having more diversity, that there is a direct correlation. Yeah, and that makes sense. I mean, let me use the example of a supermarket. If you had a supermarket which was being run by a board with all males, well, you know, way more than 50% of groceries are bought by women. It makes sense that you actually have representation of your customers on your board. If you're excluding a huge chunk of them, are you going to make better decisions? The odds are stacked very heavily against that. So there's lots of academic studies now around the world, and you've got examples of countries where they've actually mandated gender diversity countries like Italy, France and Iceland, we're actually really starting to see a very, very clear correlation between the diversity and the improved economic performance of those companies that do it. So I think that's now beyond dispute. The issue is how quickly companies embrace this. This is almost like climate change. This is really serious. You cannot engage in tokenism on this anymore. Otherwise, you're going to start losing your investors' money. It's not why your investors gave you money.
My final question is, you mentioned that it's been increasing at a glacial pace, the diversity. Yeah. Why is that?
Look, I think that lots of boards are still grasping with the idea of it. So they're learning, so they're doing this, you know, this sort of one and done, or they're doing one more at a time and so on. I don't think that there's necessarily the sense of urgency about it that it needs, because we know that those companies that take it seriously, it moves very quickly. If you look at like really good examples, companies like Tourism Holdings, Somerset, Spark, Auckland Airport, they've done a fantastic job of diversifying pretty quickly. So we know it can be done. It can be done with very big companies. There's no reason why it can't be done with small companies. Why don't people do it? Look, I think there is some, you know, white male reticence, the fact that you've got different people in there. I think a lot of people tend to hire people that who are like them, so they feel more comfortable like that. I think there tends to be, in the smaller companies, probably less of a formal process of seeking for diversity. There's a whole bunch of reasons why it happens. But, you know, we've got to the point now as a shareholder where we say, look, I'm sorry, that's just an excuse. That's not a reason. And here's the reason why you've got to do it. Economic return, long-term economic returns in New Zealand, we want to live in, so please get moving. And you know, I think there has been enough warning now. There is now a three-year window where companies can show demonstrable progress in this area, and if they don't, we'll start to see shareholder consequences. I think that's entirely appropriate. Because, you know, if you think about KiwiSaver, New Zealand's got $60 billion invested in KiwiSaver right now. Are you telling me that because you want to have a less diverse board and because it suits your personal circumstances that is a good use of shareholder money? It absolutely is not.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.